Say good morning. Today's daf is... So today's daf is Samech Vav 66. We are picking up Samech Hei Amud Beis 65B. And we are picking up with Amar Abaye. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up in the bottom. So remember again, we're in the sugya of Eid Echod. We're in the sugya of one witness, and specifically trying to figure out what is the credibility of one witness, or what is the power of one witness to affect any kind of reality. So yesterday, we were mechalik. We made a distinction between Kiddushin, in which it clearly appears, not appears, but it's clear the Gemara says that Eid Echod does not work, and we established that it's not a din in believability or credibility. Rather, again, it's a din in the fabric of Kiddushin. We saw, however, by dinei mamonos, by monetary law, so again, the law might be a little bit different with Eid Echad. And now the Gemara is going to go on with this discussion. Amar Abaye. Amar lo Eid Echad achal ta chelev. So Abaye says, let's say in the following case, an Eid Echad comes along and says, I ate chelev. Let's remember again, chelev is forbidden fats. So I ate chelev, v'hala shosek, and I don't say anything, I just simply quiet. Ne'eman, so we'll say the halacha is that the Eid Echad, right, the singular witness, is believed. V'tana tu, we have a brace that supports this. Omer lo Eid Echad achalti chelev, v'hala omer lo achalti. So let's say an Eid Echad comes along and says that I ate chelev. And I say, no, I didn't. What's the halacha? Potter, I am potter. Now, first the Gemara, taima do omer lo. The reason I put the Rabbi was, it was why? Because I contradicted the Eid Echad. So fine, so the Eid Echad says A, and I say, no, that's not true. I am believed. But what do we see from here? Ha ishtik, if I was silent, meaning if I did not contradict that which the Eid Echad said, then what? Mehemin. Then in fact, I would be believed. So we'll say, see over here that an Eid Echad is vested with credibility. Now again, his credibility will be limited to a situation where I am not contradicting him. But as long as I'm not contradicting what he's saying, his statement is believable. Amar Abaye, Amar lo Eid Echad nit mutar osecha. Furthermore, Abaye said, an Eid Echad comes along and says, that's my taros, my items that are ritually pure, became tamei, v'hala shosek, and I don't say anything, ne'ema, so the Eid Echad is believed. The Tanitz in the Brice that supports this, Eid Echad omer nitmuhu, v'hala omer lo nitmuhu. If an Eid Echad comes along and says that my taros, that my ritually pure items have become tamei, and I say, no, they haven't, so I'm potter. Potter bosa means, in this case, I am believed. I, the owner of the produce. Taimu do omer lo. Now, the reason, of course, that I'm believed is why I will say, because I am choosing to contradict the Eid Echad, ha ishtik. But if I were silent and agreed, Mehemen, I would be believed. Excuse me, the Eid Echad would be believed. So we'll say these are all examples of showing, Abaye showing, that an Eid Echad is vested with credibility under certain circumstances. Next case, V'amra Abaye, Amr lo Eid Echad, Sharcha, top of Samech Vav, Sharcha, Nirva, V'ala, Shosek. So if a person says that Yashar was sodomized, right? So we'll say, so what does that have to do with anything? So says Rashi, V'asra lahakrava. Because we'll say, obviously, after an animal, again, has either had this act done upon it or did this act to a person, lemaisa, again, the animal becomes precluded from being used as a carbon. V'hala shosek, and I don't say anything, ne'eman. So the Eid Echad is believed. V'tanatuna, v'shenev debo aveira, v'shehemes api Eid Echad, o api abaylim, ne'eman. So we'll say, so the Braisa teaches the same idea, that if somebody testifies that the axe was worshipped for Avodah Zarah, or, bless you, or that it went ahead and killed someone, and I'm only getting this information through an Eid Echad, or through the owners, the halacha is ne'eman, ultimately the Eid Echad is believed. So says the Gemara, let's analyze this, haya pi Eid Echad hechidami. So we'll say, in all of these cases, the Braisas were teaching us, Abaye was teaching us that an Eid Echad is believed. So what's the case over here of Eid Echad? Idika modu bailim, hainu api bailim. So we'll say, if you want to say that lamaisa again, that the owners are admitting to what occurred. So we'll say, whether it's the case of the ox or the other cases, then what? Then ultimately it's obvious that we will act on the information because no one's contesting it. Elalav de shasek. But rather, again, it must be that in these cases, in all these cases, so the bailim, the owners, ultimately are silent. In other words, they're not contradicting that which the Eid Echad said, and what? And ultimately, again, we see that the Eid Echad is believed. So you see from here, again, All the Gemara is trying to do with Rabbi Yossi over here is what? That Eid Echad is vested with credibility. That halacha, now again, not in every single situation, only in some specifically defined circumstances, but that Lamaisa, again, Eid Echad does have the ability to operate. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, Rabbi Yossi, now the obvious kasha is, why do I need three cases? Remember, I had three cases that illustrated the same principle. Case number one was the Eid Echad told me that I eat chalev, I didn't say anything, Eid Echad is believed. Case number two, Eid Echad told me my taros became tameh, my ritually pure items become tameh, I don't say anything, Eid Echad is believed. Case number three, the Eid Echad told me something happened to my ox that precludes it now from being offered as a karban, I don't say anything, I'm believed. So that's the Gemara, why do I need all three cases? I mean, the principle is the same, where if the Eid Echad comes along and gives information, I don't contradict that information, then the halacha is, the Eid Echad is believed. So that's the Gemara, why do I need all three cases? Shricha, the Ashwin Hach Kamaisa. If the Gemara would have just brought down the first case, meaning that's the case of Chilev, Ilav the Kimle ben Afshed, the Avot Chulim Bazar, lo Havam Aisi. So you will say, maybe it's the first case where the reason I don't say anything when the Eid Echad says I ate Chilev is why? Because I know he's correct. Because if I didn't know he was correct, I wouldn't be so quick to bring Karbanos, because Rabbi say if he's wrong, and I end up bringing an unnecessary carbon into the Beis HaMikdash, that's called Chulin La'azara. That's called unconsecrated animals into the Azara, which is a very serious transgression. So it could be that in the first case, I don't say anything because I know that the Eid Echad is right. Aval nitmu taro secha. But in the case ultimately where the Eid Echad comes along and says that my ritually pure items became tameh, maybe the reason I'm silent there is meimar amar hay deshasik saver dechazi lebi meitumaso. Because also when the Eid Echad comes along and tells me that my taros are tameh, so I say to myself, you know what? Not a big deal. Why? Because the only difference is now I can't eat them when I'm tar, but I can eat them when I'm tameh. Mostly people always had to have food reserves for when they were ritually impure, because likes you need to eat something. So that's why I'm not choosing to contradict the aid, because it doesn't really matter. However, again, says the Gemara V'yashmun and ha mishum de kamaf si lebi me taroso. Or furthermore, if you would have just brought down the case of taros, I would have said that case is unique. Why? Because the Eid Echad is causing me to lose out on eating my produce when I'm tar. Aval shor nirva. But mostly when it comes to the case of when something happened to the ox, meimar amar kol hashvarim lav gabi mizbeach kaimi. I would have said that the reason that I'm not saying anything to the Eid Echad is because what's the big deal? Meaning, what's the statistical probability that I was going to offer that shor as a carbon anyway? Right? Most oxen do not go on the Mizbeach, and therefore, again, it's not worth it for me to say anything. Therefore, says the Gemara Tzricha, Sefer Rabbah said, we need all the cases, because each case is novel, but bottom line of all three cases is the same, which is that halacha lemaisa, when the Eid Echad gives information, and I don't contradict that information, then what? Then lemaisa, again, the Eid Echad is believed. So says the Gemara, Ibaylahu, Ishto zin sabe Eid Echad, Visho sikmahu. But say, what happens if a man is told, look at Rashi, Ishto zin sabe Eid Echad, Kilomar, Amarlo Eid Echad, Ishtecha zin sabahu shosek, Mahu le'asar ha'eid alav. So we'll say, so the Shaila comes now, and Eid Echad comes along and tells a person, your wife committed adultery. So what is the status of that eidos? Does that eidos have enough? Remember, so if a woman commits adultery, she becomes asura to her husband. She becomes prohibited to her husband. So the shaila now is, does the testimony of the Eid Echad have the ability to affect this new reality for this married couple? So, and remember, so the Eid Echad comes along and says to the husband, your wife committed adultery. Husband's reaction? Silence. So the shaila is, remember, what do we just establish beforehand? We just established beforehand that if an Eid Echad comes along and gives information, and the Baal, or the person who the information is impacting, is silent, what's the halacha? Eid Echad is believed. So what's the situation over here? Some Abaye says, Ne'eman. Abaye says, we believe the Eid Echad. Again, I will say, remember, because the husband is not contradicting the Eid Echad, we accept the testimony of the Eid Echad. Rava Amar, Rava on the other hand says, Eino Ne'eman. No, the Eid Echad is not believed. Why? Because Havidavar Sheba Erva, because we will say this is a matter of morality. Ve'in Davar Sheba Erva Pachos Mishnayim. Because Halacha L'Maaseh, any matters of morality cannot be established with less than two witnesses. We actually learned this the other day. This is based on the Gzeir Shava of Davar Davar Mimamon. Right? Kimatza Ba Ervas Davar, Apishnaim Edim Yakum Davar. So the idea is just like by monetary law you need two witnesses, so too says Rava, by moral law, by morality, you also need two witnesses. Amra Ba'im Inu Aminu Law. So Abai says, how do I know that an Eid Echad, when he's non-contradicted by the husband, will be believed to say it to him? When we say be believed, so we'll have to define what that means as well. Of course, it doesn't mean to administer a death penalty, because you can't administer a death penalty ultimately, again, with less than two witnesses. So the Shaila is, but Pashtus, what it means is, he'll be believed to be able to force a divorce. Meaning, he'll be believed to say that the husband will have to now go ahead and divorce this woman because she committed adultery. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Minah Amin Allah, how do I know that an Eid Echad, who's not contradicted by the husband, is believed? Dahu Samya, Gemara tells the story, Dahu Samya, there was a particular man who used to be Mesadr Masnisa. He would organize the teachings. Apparently, he was the one, like the spokesman. And also, remember again, times of the Gemara, often the town of the Amor would have a Turgaman, someone who would take their teachings and go ahead and organize them and present them in a way to the masses that was intellectually and spiritually digestible. So Abaye had this blind man who used to be in the Beis Medrash, who organized the teachings. What happened? So Yom Achad Nagale, one day he was late for Lohava Ka'asi, and he wasn't in the Beis Medrash. The blind man was late, wasn't in the Beis Medrash. Shadar Shlicha Basrei. So Shmuel sent someone to go check on the blind man. Ada Azul Shaliach Bechad Archa. Asaihu Bechad. So what was I? So the blind man was just running a little bit late. So what happened was, is that the Shaliach went to the blind man's home going in one direction, and the blind man came in another direction. So in other words, they missed each other. The Shaliach and the blind missed each other. So what happens? So the blind man gets to the Beis Medrash. A little while later, Shliach shows up in the Beis Medrash. Ki asa Shliach amar ishto zinsa. So the Shliach comes back to the Beis Medrash, and he reports back, he says, listen, blind man, I came to your house looking for you, and I saw that your wife committed adultery. So the Gemara says, asa lekameh de mar Shmuel. So a blind man came before mar Shmuel. So obviously the blind man wants to know, what do I do? What do I do with this information? Amrle Shmuel said, if you believe this individual, then you should divorce your wife. Ve'ilo, but if you don't believe him, lo safik, then you should not divorce her. My love, imehemen aloch delav gazlano. So the Gemara says, so, meaning, what does that mean when Shmuel said, if you believe him? So bepashtos, doesn't it not mean that if you believe him, namely, that he's not a ganav? Now listen, what does it mean that he's not a ganav? In other words, what Mar Shmuel was saying was, if you believe that the guy is trustworthy, if you believe ultimately, again, that he's an upright individual and his statement is a correct one, then ultimately you should act upon his information and divorce your wife. The Rav would understand, no. According to Rav, what it means is the following. Mar Shmuel was saying to the blind man, if you believe this witness, if you vest with the credibility of two witnesses, then you should act on the information he is giving you. However, but if you do not believe him like two witnesses, lo safka, then you should not divorce us. So we'll say, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that lemaisa, again, even believing the Eid Echad is a din in the person who's receiving the information. So it's almost like a certain subjective reality about how much do you trust the person who's giving you this particular information. So the Gemara says, for Amar Abaye said, Mina Amin Allah, how do I know that an Eid Echad is believed, when no one is contradicting him? Listen to this, Tisanya. Well, this is actually amazing. Ma'ase b'Yanai HaMelech. There was an episode with King Yanai. So remember, King Yanai, just a little bit of history. So Chanukah, Chashmonaim defeat the Syrian Greeks. So remember, this is about 200 years into the era of Bayit Sheni, the Second Temple era. So Chashmonaim defeat the Greeks. Chashmonaim did something very interesting, which was Chashmonaim were Kohanim. So they also assumed the monarchy. So Machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not that was an appropriate act. The Rambam feels that was a good thing that they took on the monarchy because they solidified the Jewish kingdom. Ramban says it was their undoing because, again, we have a split between monarchy and kahuna. Kahuna comes from Shevet Levi, monarchy comes from Shevet Yehuda, and ultimately, again, they did the wrong thing by seizing the monarchy. One thing is clear, which is they started out doing really good work, but very quickly, that dynasty begins to unravel. I mean, it ultimately unravels with Herod, who himself claimed to be part of the Chashmonai dynasty, but was not really a Chashi, was an Eved. In any event, so one of the Chashmonai kings was a man by the name of Yanai. Yanai was a great man until he wasn't. So what happened? So the Gemara says, Desanya, Ma'aseh b'Yanai HaMelech, Shehalach l'kuchalet shebamidbar. V'kivei shem shishim krachim. So it was like, so one time it happened that Yanai the king waged a battle, and he into the city of Kuchalis in the desert, and he conquered there 60 cities. So he conquered 60 cities in the desert. U'bechazarasa haya sameach simcha gidola. When he was returning back, obviously he was very, very happy. Very happy. V'kor l'chol chachmei Yisrael. And he gathered all of the sages, all of the rabbis. Amar lahem, avosinu hayu ochlim meluchim. He said, you know, our forefathers, when they were building the second temple, this is the second Beis HaMikdash, so they ate meluchim. Rashi says over here, meluchim, yirakosheim, v'shemen kalkuli b'lashon arba, certain types of vegetables. Now, what Yanai was saying was, you know, when we built the second Beis HaMikdash, we were very impoverished. Very impoverished. So what did our forefathers eat when they were building the Beis HaMikdash? They ate like salted vegetables. So af anu nocha meluchim zecher la'avosinu. We should also eat meluchim now to remember our forefathers. In other words, we'll say now, under Yanai, the Jewish people became very wealthy. They just had a major victory, 60 cities they just conquered. But Yanai said, a very beautiful idea, you know, we should remember the hardships of our ancestors. They ate meluchim, we should eat meluchim. And what did they do? V'helu meluchim ha'shulchan ha'shal zav. Well, it says this, but they ate meluchim on gold tables. So they were so wealthy at gold tables, but they ate the meluchim to remember the hardships of those who came before them. V'hayasham echad ish letz. Lev Rav Eliyahu, also, you see how amazing that is. Right, but there was a man who was a letz. Right, there was a man, you're going to see, who was cynical, who made a joke out of everything, who tried to talk about everything, and his name was Elazar ben Poira. So say also, it's amazing, you know, his name is known for all eternity now. So he was Elazar ben Poira, Shemo, Vayomer Elazar ben Poira, Liyana Hemelech, Libam Shal Prushim Alecha. Yanai, the rabbis don't like you. The rabbis don't like you. The Prushim refers ultimately again to the Rabbanim. So the Rabbanim don't like you. So Uma'as Elohim. So Yanai said, well, what do you want me to do? So the Gemara says, so Elazar tells him, Hakim Lahem Betzitz Shebein Einecha. So what happens? So Elazar ben Poira says to Yanai, what you should do? Listen, Yanai, you're the king. But the truth is, you really should be the Kohen Gadol as well. Should be the Kohen Gadol as well. So what should you do? Put on the tzitz. But remember, the tzitz is the plate that sits, the golden plate that sits on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol that says, Kodesh Lashem, sanctified to God. So said Elazar ben Poira, Yanai, here's what you should do. Put the tzitz on, put on the tzitz, and walk into the room where all the rabbis are. And let's see if they're going to give you the proper cover, not just as the king, but also as the Kohen Gadol. So what happened? Hekim lahem betzit shebein einav. So what happened? So Yanai listened. He put the tzitz on. Haya sham zakin echad v'Yehuda ben Gedide shemo. So there was, he walked in among the Rabbanim, and one of the Rabbanim was there, his name by the name of Yehuda ben Gedide. V'yomer Yehuda ben Gedide liyanai melech. Yanai melech. Rav loch keser malchus. Hanach keser kuhuna lezaro shel Aaron. Ultimately, he said to Yanai, leave it should be enough for you that you wear the crown of monarchy. Leave the crown of kuhuna for the descendants of Aaron. So Yehuda ben Gedide gave Yanai Musar. You're not the queen of the Moshe. Now, obviously, I know what you're thinking right now, saying, but one second. Yanai is what? Yanai is offspring of Aaron. We just said that Yanai, again, is part of the Chashmonai family. The Chashmonai family are Kohanim. So what's going on over here? Oh, here's where the intrigue comes. Shayu omrim imo nishbis b'modiyim. So we'll say, because what happened? Because it was rumored that Yanai's mother in her youth was taken captive by idolaters. So we'll say, so remember again, there's a presumption, halacha, that if a woman is taken captive by idolaters, then what happens? She's violated. Now we'll say, now remember, the halacha is if a woman is violated by Gentile captors, she is not permitted to marry a Kohen. So essentially what Yehuda ben Gedide was kind of alluding to was that Yanai is a chalal. Yanai is a chalal. So Yanai, when he was saying, Yanai, don't go ahead and wear the keser of kuhuna. It doesn't belong to you. He was making reference, ultimately, again, I will say, if you notice, the lashon over here is very important. It's shahayu omrim. This was a rumor, meaning this was something that people said. So he said, Yanai, it's not appropriate for you to wear this crown of kuhuna. So vivuka ashadavar, but I will say, they investigated this matter, and what happened? Velo nimtza. And ultimately, again, it was never found to be true. This is never found to be true. So look, so fine. It was never found to be true. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ibadlu chach me'yisrael bezam." So if you look at Rashi, "Ve'ibadlu chach me'yisrael bezam," shekasim achalim. So the king got very angry at the rabbis, and the king distanced the rabbanim from him. So Yonah is very angry at the rabbanim because he feels slighted by them. Remember, Elazar ben Poira sets up this whole situation. He knew that the rabbanim would not consent to Yana becoming Kohen Gadol, either because of this rumor about his mother, or ultimately, again, just because it's not proper to really blend the two offices. So, Vayomer Elazar ben Poira liyana hemelech, Yana hemelech. So Elazar ben Poira is not finished stirring the pot. So it says, King Yanai, head yod shabi yisrael kachudino. So if this public shame would have been visited upon a regular person, the head yod would be entitled to be angry. Va'ata melech the kohen gadol. And you're the king, and you're the kohen gadol. Din kachudincha. So how can you let this? In other words, Elizabeth Peir, both say, you should know the major tragedy of this story is you're going to see, and you see, by the way, this is very much reminiscent of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa as well. How it appears that sometimes the worst tragedies that have been visited upon our people, unfortunately, have been created and have been orchestrated from within. So Elazar ben Poira, for reasons the Gemara does not tell us, is so angry and is so upset and is stirring the pot with Yanai. He says, Yanai, you're the king, you're the Kohen Gadol, and let this slight go unpunished. So it says, Yanai, ma'as. So Yanai says, what do you want from this? He says, the Rabbanim. So you see the goodness of Yanai, right? Yanai says, look, it's the Rabbanim. What am I? I am upset. I don't want anything to do with them. But what am I supposed to do? So he says, Elazar ben Poira, imata shomei ala etzasi, if you want to listen to my advice, romsam. We'll say romsam literally means spear them. Kill them. Kill them. If you listen to me, kill the rabbis. I've heard that sentiment before, right? Kill the rabbis. The Gemara says, v'torah matei ala. So one second, but you'll say to yourself, well, what's going to happen with Torah? Right, they will say, if we don't have the Rabbanim, so who's going to go ahead and convey the Masorah? So Hari Krucha Umonachas Bekaren Zavis. So Elizabeth says, what's the big deal? There's Sefer Torah everywhere, right? Look, right over there in the corner, there's a Sefer Torah. We don't need the rabbis for the Torah. We'll learn the Torah on our own. So it says, Kol Arotze Lilmod Yavol V'Lilmod. Whoever wants to learn, they'll come and learn on their own. So ultimately, again, in that moment, Yanai was overtaken by a spirit of Abikarsus. We'll say, you see over here, by the way, of the need to surround yourself with the right people and make sure to get advice from the right people. Because what happens, Yanai, who clearly was a good individual, it was a setup, meaning he was taken advantage of, but he allowed himself to be taken advantage of. In other words, that he allowed himself to follow this advice and to fall into this trap. Because Yanai should have responded to Elazar ben Poira, it's true. There's a Sefer Torah sitting right there, and it's true. Anyone who wants can come and learn Torah Shebichsav. What about Torah Shebal Peh? You can't have Torah Shebal Peh without the Rabbanim, right? The Rabbanim are the conveyors of the Masorah. So the Gemara says, Miyad, Batotse Tzara, Aide Elazar ben Poira. In that moment, again, the evil was stoked by Elazar ben Poira, Vayahargu Kol Chach Me Yisrael. And Yanai literally wiped out all of the rabbis. Wiped out all of the rabbis. So we'll say, by the way, this scene repeats itself at least two times with the Chashma. Herod does the same exact thing. Wiped out the entire Sanhedrin. Yeah. So the Gemara says, so what happened? The world literally again, Mishtomim, we'll say, means it was like lost. You wipe out the Rabbanim, you wipe out the Masorah, you wipe out Torah leadership. Ad Sheba Shimon ben Shetach, until Shimon ben Shetach came along, the Hechsir es Torah liyoshna, and he was able to go ahead and return the Torah to its former glory. So also, the obvious shayla is, how was Shimon ben Shetach able to survive the wrath of Yanai? Look at Rashi, this is amazing. Shimon ben Shetach, achi ishto haya, vehech biaso. So listen to this. Shimon ben Shetach was Yanai's brother-in-law. Was Yanai's wife's sister, and Yanai's wife, Shimon Shetach's sister, hid Shimon ben Shetach while Yanai was wiping out the Rabbanim. So she hid him, ultimately, again, and he was able to rebuild the community of Torah. So now the Gemara says, so now, remember, why is this whole story here? So it's interesting, this whole story here is because of the episode with Yanai's mother. So remember, the Gemara made a reference to the fact that people said that Yanai's mother was taken captive, but then they looked into it more and they found that there was no real evidence to support that. Says the Gemara, Heichi Dami, what was the case exactly with Yanai's mother? If you want to say, originally they had two witnesses who said that she was taken captive, and then another two witnesses who said, no, she wasn't taken captive. How do you know to rely on the second witnesses who said that she wasn't taken captive? Maybe I should rely on the first witnesses who said she was taken captive. Rather, it must be that the case was where you had an Eid Echad who said that Yanai's mother was taken captive. The time of the Kamach Shile, and the reason ultimately the Eid Echad wasn't believed was because others contradicted him. So the Gemara said, Mach Shile Beitre, only because you see two other witnesses came along and contradicted him. Halav Hachi, but had two witnesses not come along and contradicted the Eid Echad, then what? Mehemin, the Eid Echad would have been believed. So also you see from this case that what? Over here by Yanai's mother, the Eid Echad would have been believed to establish that Yanai's mother was taken captive, and therefore again would have rendered Yanai a chalal. To which the Gemara said, Rava would say, so from here you see that what? Then an Eid Echad is believed, which supports Abai. So remember, Abai was the one who brought this whole Naisa. So I will say, the only reason the Eid Echad wasn't believed in this case is because the Gemara says, two Eidim came and said, no, you're wrong, Yanai's mother was never taken captive. But in the absence of those two Eidim who came and refuted the position or the statement of the Eid Echad would be believed. Rava said, no, the Olam Treu Trei. That's not the case. The case by Yanai's mother, Abosai, is where there were two witnesses against two witnesses. Two witnesses said that she was taken captive. Two witnesses said she wasn't taken captive. Okay, the Amar Avacha by Rav Minyumi be'edi hazama. Abosai, what's the case over here? It was two against two. So why do you rely on the second two and not the first two? Because Abosai, the case over here is the first two came along and said Yanai's mother was taken captive. And the second two came along and said what? You cannot have possibly, you're wrong, and you cannot have possibly have seen that. Why? Because you were with us, so to speak. You were with us and could not have seen the matter about which you are supposedly testifying. The other possibility is, there's another piece which adds a layer of intrigue to this story, that when Yanai's mother was taken captive, they were able to do a swap, right? That they were able to go ahead and smuggle her out and put in a shifcha, put in a maidservant in her stead. So that, in other words, she was never ultimately again alone or secluded with the captors. Rather, again, she was rescued before anything was ever able to happen. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava says, Amar Beis, Mina Aminallah. So I'll say, remember again, so therefore the Machlokes still continues. So Rava says, from where do I know my position? Remember, Rava holds that an Eid Echad is not Ne'eman. So Rava says, from where do I know? This none. Because we learned. Amar Rav Shimon, Maisa v'megura shal desakim biyavne, shahaisa omedes becheskas shalema. So says Reb Shimon that there was once a megura shal desakim. Abosai means a pool. Megura is a pool. There was a mikvah. There was a mikvah of desakim. Now Rashi says that this diskim is either shem adam or shem makom. So either this diskim is the name of a place or it's the name of a person. Either way, there was an episode with the pool of diskim in Yavne. That I will say what happened. They had a chazaka that I had 40 sa'ah, and therefore was a proper mikvah. And they measured it, and then they found that it was chaser. So they measured the mikvah now, and they found the mikvah only had 39 sa'ah. So what happens? So now the obvious shayla is like this. We thought the mikvah was kosher. Now it turns out the mikvah is not kosher. What's the shayla now? What's the status of everything that was purified through that mikvah? What's the status of it? So what happened? Shabbi Tarfon said, no, everything that was done on the mikvah up until this point is considered to be tahor. Why? Look at Rashi. Hay Rabbi Tarfon Matayr. Damar hashtohu dechaser. Because Rabbi Tarfon says we have the right to halachically believe that it's at this very moment that the mikvah became deficient. Rabbi Tarfon says, essentially, Rabbi Osai, that the chazaka only changes from when? from the moment you know that it changes, from the moment that you first found out that it changed. But Lamaisa, we don't have to take back that compromised status retroactively. Therefore, everything that was purified in the mikvah up until this point will be unequivocally tar. Going forward, obviously, the mikvah is deficient and does not have the ability to affect tara. Rabbi Akiva metame. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says that no, you have to be metame those things that were purified in the mikvah. Look at Rashi. What's a metame? Delo yad inar me'emas chasra v'nimtza she'ina tevila. Because Rabbi Akiva says, look, you don't know at what point in time the mikvah became deficient. The mikvah could have become deficient long ago. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, everything done in that mikvah must be rendered impure. Am Rabbi Tarfon, mikvah zebecheska shalim hu omeid. So Rabbi Tarfon says, look, the mikvah had a chazaka that it was shalim, right? The chazaka of the mikvah was, the presumption of the mikvah was, its established status was that it had 40 saw. And what happens? Misafek atabala chasro. Now you want to go ahead and you want to render it deficient retroactively, right? Because of its present deficiency. Al techasrenu misafek. Do not go ahead and render the mikvah deficient out of safek. In other words, we'll say, what Rabbi Tarfon essentially says is like this. All you know, the only thing you know with absolute certainty is what? Is that now the mikvah is deficient. You do not know anything about the status of the mikvah prior to the moment you discover that it was deficient. Says Rabbi Tarfon, at the end of the day, there was a chazaka up until this point, meaning had you not checked, the chazaka would have said that the mikvah was good. Therefore, there is no need, says Rabbi Tarfon, to retroactively invalidate any things that were purified through the mikvah. Am Rabbi Akiva, Adam zebeches kas tamehu omeid, misafek ata balataro, altatara misafek. But on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, look, the person who used the mikvah has a cheskas tumah, and misafek, again, out of doubt, you want to go ahead and render him tar. Don't make him tar from suffering. So we'll see here what's going on over here. So the machlokes, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is, who do you focus on? So according to Rabbi Tarfon says, let's focus on the mikvah. The mikvah is a cheskas tara. Right? The mikvah is a chazaka that it's good. You found now that it's not good. Okay, it's not good from this point going forward, but there's no need to apply this suffix retroactively. Rabbi Akiva says, no, look at the mikvah, look at the person. The person has a cheskas tumah. Now we know that he immersed in a mikvah that we presently know is not good. Was the mikvah good or not good when he went into it? We don't know. But here's what we do know. We know that in a chazaka of being tame, you can't change his cheskas tumah based on the possibility that what? That the mikvah was a valid mikvah. Fascinating. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon says, that's the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Do you look at the mikvah, which Rabbi Tarfon does, and therefore the mikvah is a cheskas tara, or do you look at the person, which Rabbi Akiva does, and the person has a cheskas tumah? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Moshe, so Rabbi Tarfon says, remember, Rabbi Tarfon is the one who says that the mikvah is assumed to be tar up until the point that you find it deficient. So I'm Rabbi Tarfon, Moshe lo omeidu makriva gabeya mizbeach, benodelo shub ben grusham ben chalutza. So Rabbi Tarfon says, this can be compared to a case of a Kohen who's doing the Avodah. Kohen's doing the Avodah, and then what happens, he gets an urgent telegram in the middle of the Avodah that says what? His mother's a grusha. His mother's a grusha, mother's a divorcee. So we'll say, you know, the halacha is that a Kohen is not permitted to marry a divorcee. If they have children together, again, those children are chalalim, who are not permitted to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohen is literally in the middle of doing the avodah, and he finds that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. What's the halacha? Sha'avodah so ksheira. So we'll say, the halacha is that everything he did up until that point, that he found out this information, is valid. Obviously now, from this moment going forward, he can't do avodah, but everything he did until now, ultimately is good. Rabbi Tarfon says, so what do you see from here? You see from here that when you have a chazaka a certain way and something changes that chazaka, so your new chazaka sets in from the moment you get the new information and forward. But the chazaka is not changed retroactively. So this says Rabbi Akiva, you discover the mikvah is not good. When do we assume the mikvah is not good as of? From the moment you find out the information going forward. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva will say, I'll give you a different mashal. This can be compared to a case of a kohen who's doing the avodah, and he finds out that he's a bal mum. Right? He finds out ultimately, again, that he has a blemish. I will say now, whether it's that he discovers he has a blemish, or he realizes that he has an invalidating blemish. He might have known about the blemish the entire time, but he finds out now that this is something ultimately that renders him unfit to be a kohen, or actually not to be a kohen, but to do the avoda. So what's the halacha? Shavadasa psula. But I said the halacha is actually quite amazing. The halacha is that when a balmum goes ahead and does the avoda, everything he did is usher, is pasul attractive. So let's say, for example, let's say the kohen, he offered up the tamid shel shachar. He offered up ultimately the morning offering. And then what happens? Midday, he finds out that he's a balmum. So what's the halacha? That tamid shel shachar was not a good karban. Anything he does, anything he did retroactively, ultimately is not good. I'm Rabbi Tarfon. And therefore, again, Rabbi Tarfon will say, therefore, same thing over here. Because why? Because you know that status changes him retroactively. So too, says Rabbi Tarfon, when you have the mikvah and you turn out that the mikvah is chaser, Rabbi Tarfon will say, you can't go ahead and change the status of someone out of cheskas tuma with a mikvah whose status you're unsure of. So I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, Rabbi Akiva, listen, Rabbi Akiva. You compared the mikvah to the case of a kohen balmum, right? I'm sorry. I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Ato demisa la balmum, but I need demisa la ben grusha. Sorry, Rabbi Tarfon says Rabbi Akiva. You compared the case of the mikvah to the kohen with the balmum. Just like the balmum, his avoda is pasul retroactively. So to the mikvah, everything that was done in his pasul is tamei retroactively as well. Va'ani, but as Rabbi Tarfon says, ani demisiv leben grusha leben chalutza. I choose to compare the case of the mikvah to the case of the ben grusha ben chalutza. What happens? We'll say that if a kohen finds out that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza, then what's the halacha? His avodah is possible from the moment of revelation going forward, but not retroactively. So the Gemara says, "Lemi domer." So says Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. Let's be honest. To which case does the mikvah case line up better to the baal moment to the ben grusha ben chalutza? Si dom la ben grusha ben chalutza nidoneno ki ben grusha ben chalutza. So Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Akiva, listen, let's settle this. We obviously each have different positions. One of us is comparing the mikvah to the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That's me, says Rabbi Tarfon. You're Rabbi Akiva comparing it to the case of Balmum. So why don't we just analyze this and see which case does mikvah more closely resemble? Does mikvah more closely resemble the case of Balmum or the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? So Rabbi Akiva began to think about this, and he said, "Mikvah psulo biyachid, ubamum psulo biyachid." So now you understand why this is being brought in. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Well, look. On one hand, a mikvah could be invalidated through the testimony of one person." And a balmum, a kohen could also be invalidated as a balmum through the testimony of one person. But on the other hand, says Rabbi Akiva, the ability to establish someone as what? As a ben grusha ben chalutza requires testimony of two people. So remember, now you understand the whole reason this is being brought in is because of that line. Remember, we're still in the midst of the sugya of Eid Echad. But says Rabbi Akiva, I choose to compare the case of mikvah to the case of balmum because both mikvah and balmum could be established with the testimony of an Eid Echad. Ben Grusha and Chalusa requires testimony of two witnesses. Dover Acher, another possibility is mikvah psula begufo. The issue of the mikvah rabosai is something inherent in the mikvah. It's a psul. It's a disqualification in the body of the mikvah itself. Balmum psula begufo. So to Rabbi say a balmum is also, he has a psul in his body. Rabbi remember again, the coins of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that is a psul in his lineage. But it's not a psul in his person. But says Rabbi Akiva, you shouldn't compare mikvah to the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, or what? It's not a psul begufo. It's not a disqualification in the coin himself. But rather, what is it a disqualification in? It's a disqualification ultimately, again, in his parents. So says the Gemara, only Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said, Akiva, kalaporish mimcha, kiporish minachayim. So we'll say, Rabbi Tarfon comes to agree with Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Tarfon says, you know what, Akiva, you are correct. Your comparison between Balmum and Mikvah makes sense on both levels. Number one, they share a common denominator of Eid Echad. Eid Echad could invalidate both cases. And number two, they're both a psul begufo. There's both the disqualification is inherently present in the physicality of the item. So Rabbi Tarfon says, Rabbi Akiva, anyone who separates from you is like separating from life. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, you are our connection to Torah, our connection to life. So it says the Gemara, let's analyze this. Hai balmum shepsulo biyachidei dami. So we'll say, so Rabbi Akiva said, a balmum, the psulo of a balmum, can be established through an eidechad. So what's the case? Hei dami, either kamachishle. So I will say, if the Eidechad says about a particular Kohen, you're a Balmum, and the Kohen says, that what? No, I'm not. So me mehemen. So ultimately, again, would we believe the Kohen? Ella the Shasik. So I'm sorry, me mehemen, would we believe the Eidechad? So I will say, if the Eidechad says, you're a Balmum, and the Kohen says, no, I'm not. So would we believe the Eidechad under those circumstances? Ella the Shasik. Rather, it must be that the Eidechad comes along and tells the Kohen, you're a Balmum. And what does the Kohen say? What does the Kohen say? Nothing. He's just silent. That's the case. We'll accept the testimony of the Eidechad. Utikavasikai ben Grusha ben Chalutza. Now let's analyze this. In the comparable case of ben Grusha ben Chalutza, right, that's what, where an Eidechad would come along and say, you're ben Grusha ben Chalutza, the Shasik, and now again the person is quiet. The Katani, Mikva, Psulo Biyachid, Ubamum Psulo Biyachid, Va'al Yochiach ben Grusha ben Chalutza, Shepsulo Bishnaim. So we'll say, so again, here's what's interesting. What's interesting over here is, if you're going to set this up as a case of an Eid Echad, where he's coming along and he's not saying anything, so we'll say, so even in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, ultimately, again, why wouldn't that work as well? Now, presumably, the reason it doesn't work is because by a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that becomes a Davar Sher Be'erva, and a Davar Sher Be'erva, because we'll say, essentially, what you're doing is you're testifying about the illegality of the marriage between the Kohen's parents, that becomes Davar Sher Be'erva. Davar Sher Be'erva, any matters of morality cannot be established less than two witnesses. Rabbi says, the Olam, the Kamachishle. No, the case of the Baal Mum, Rabbi says, where what? The Baal, so the Eidach comes along and says, Kohen, you're a Baal Mum. Kohen says, no, I'm not. So why would we believe the Eidechad in that case? So we'll say, if the Eidechad says, Kohen, you're a Baal Mum. Kohen says, no, I'm not. Yet the Gemara says, we believe the Eid. Why would we believe the Eid? Very simple. The Amalei, Shalich Achvoi. So what do we say to the Kohen? If you're not a Baal Mum, then what? Prove it. In other words, well, Shachmai means take your clothes off. Take your meaning, again, if you're not a Baal Mum, it's a very easily provable claim. But if you're not willing to ultimately prove the claim, then what? Then we will ultimately believe the Eidechad. V'hainu diktani mikve psula begufo u'bamum psula begufo. That's what Rabbi Akiva means when he says that the mikvah, the psul is in the body of the mikvah, and a bamum, the psul is in the body of the Kohen. V'al yochiach ben Grusha ben Chalutza shepsulu me'achirim. And you cannot prove anything from the case of ben Grusha ben Chalutza, where ultimately, again, the psul is not in the body of the Kohen, but rather what? But the psul ultimately, again, will be in Achirim, be in the parents. So now it appears that even Rabbi Tarfon agrees with Rabbi Akiva that halacha lemaisa, will go ahead and we will go ahead and invalidate anything that was done in that mikvah retroactively. Now, both say, now what the discussion we're not going to get into is how far back does Rabbi Akiva go? Because obviously there's going to have to be just a certain window that you go back to, and not the Olam Voed. So how far back do you go? That the Gemara doesn't discuss, but it appears that even Rabbi Tarfon will agree with Rabbi Akiva that you don't just simply invalidate the mikvah from this point forward, but rather you extend the invalidation to some period of time back. Says the Gemara, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, Vadasik Sher Minyalon. So I'll say, how do we know? Actually, we'll stop over here for today. We'll stop with Ben Grusha. So now, what the Gemara is going to do, just coming attractions for tomorrow, the Gemara made a very interesting distinction. That by the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, the halacha is that any avot that he did up until the point of the revelation is kasher, by Baal Mum, retroactively his avodah will be invalid. How we know that? Im Yirtzeh Hashem, to be continued tomorrow. Shkoyach. So whatever you can go back and do, you go back and do. Certain things you just simply can't fix. For example, if you offered up the morning offering and it's now the afternoon, you lost it.